Well, our family, we are called the Shannons. I have my wife Christy here, and also our six children are here. And again, thank you for having us. We live and work among the poorest of the poor in a slum area in the capital city of Addis Ababa. And our focus is on orphan prevention and family preservation. The mothers we work with, when they first come into our project, typically are making less than a dollar a day. They are begging on the streets. Some of them are prostituting themselves, trying to do whatever they can to keep their family intact. So now we provide a holistic intervention there. We provide a daycare. We provide a feeding center. We provide schooling. We educate preschool and kindergarten two levels, and we have a primary school up through grade three. We also provide free health care. We provide social work, special supports for 30-plus HIV-positive moms, basic needs. We provide also micro-grants and micro-savings, and we have literacy work we do. We also provide a spiritual ministry that gives the opportunity for moms to engage in Bible study and Christian discipleship. And then also for the children, we provide a kids club in the schools so that they can know the gospel and who Jesus has come, what he has come to do in their lives. We started out this project serving 20 children in the living room of our home. And now we have 265 children in this project, as well as their mothers. And we have 58 Ethiopian staff who manage the day-to-day of this project. Our aim through and through is to present Jesus to these moms and children. Day in and day out, that is what we strive to do. Let me just share with you just a couple of details about a couple of photos from Embracing Hope. We'll try. Aha. This is a picture of our daycare, one of the classes in the daycare. This is Konji, one of our daycare workers, and some of the children. Every day they come and they're provided with a safe environment and also an early childhood education too. This is a photo from our first grade classroom. And this school is in an area close to the garbage dump in Addis Ababa. And it is a school that's providing education for children that otherwise would be in a classroom of about 70 children with one teacher. And that teacher doesn't even come to school every day, and so the children don't have much of an opportunity there. Instead, in this school, there's about 25 children in a classroom. There's a teacher and an aide. And these children not only are educated using a government curriculum, but they're also cared for, and the love of Jesus is shared with them daily indeed. So this is a bit of what we do, and I'll share more at our meet and greet afterwards, as well as sharing some stories as we go through the sermon this morning. But what I'd like to do is to shift gears away from talking about Embracing Hope for a moment and have us turn to God's Word together. And this morning I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 14. Thank you, guys. That's better. I can read. Beautiful. I would like to, this morning, just talk about the idea of sitting at the table of honor. Here in Luke chapter 14 is a very powerful passage about what it means to have the attitude of Jesus, about growing as followers of Jesus. And before we read this passage, though, I would like to ask you just a simple question. Have you ever been invited to sit at the seat of honor? Now, in Ethiopia, I serve as a pastor, and constantly I get invited to sit at the seat of honor. Now, the seat of honor means that you're invited into a gathering and you are given the seat up front that faces everybody else. And while all the functions are happening, you're expected to sit there and watch it all. And then at some point in time, somebody says, well, you know, we have a special guest here today, and he's now going to address you. He's brought these great words of wisdom that he's going to share with you. And at that moment, I always choke a little bit, and I think, I hate sitting here in this seat facing everybody else. It's really uncomfortable. The only advantage to sitting in the seat of honor in those settings is that you get to be first in line for food. Outside of that, there's not many perks to sitting in that place, in my opinion. But here in Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives us some insight about sitting at the seat of honor and what it means. So join with me as we read Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 7, and we'll read to verse 14. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a gift to us. And we pray today that you would challenge us, encourage us, transform us by your word and by your spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here in this passage, Jesus is teaching us, he's drawing us into his kingdom way. You see, people then had a similar outlook to life as what we do now. They wanted to choose their places of honor. They wanted to look successful and gain attention. They wanted to be seen as the most important. They were in places of these banquets being held. They were like a business kind of meeting where you wanted to make an impact on those who had been invited so that others would come and they would pay you back later at the right time. If you could draw attention to how successful you were, then it would have a great benefit. But notice what Jesus says to us in verses 7 to 9. We read, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place." The first idea here is for us to find our security in Jesus. You see, Jesus says to us, choose the last seat when you're in a room. The seat closest to the host was the seat for the most important person. Everybody wanted to sit in the seat of influence. But the last seat at the table was for the person who almost didn't get invited. They were the last person who received the invitation to come to the banquet. They were the least important person in the room. And Jesus says, choose that least important place. Now, this is the place of self-examination for us. Where do we choose to sit? Because if I'm caught up in making something of myself and gaining power, looking successful, I will choose to sit in the most important place. That's where I want to be. But if I can be secure in who Jesus has made me to be, who he is calling me to be, then I can choose the last seat in the room. I can willingly choose it. Now, let me be honest here. My family were seen as being a bit off, and that's okay. You can see us as being a bit off too. We're okay with it. This is the area where we live. We live in an area called Kore. There's 130,000 people who live in this slum area. This is where we live. This is where we work, right on the edge of this slum. But this is a place we love. We don't consider it great sacrifice to live here. We love this community where we live. Right here beside the Koshe garbage dump. We love it here because we feel a sense of security in who Jesus made us to be. and who He's calling us to be. And so we can live here and love it. Recently, a friend of mine said to me, he said, "You don't understand that the fact that you choose with your family to live in a poor area, it speaks volumes to them. It says to them, you could live anywhere else you wanted to, but you have chosen to live among us." And he said, that speaks the love of Jesus to them. But here's the truth. You don't have to live in a slum to have this security. Rather, Jesus invites us wherever we are, whatever our neighborhood is. He invites us outside of our desire to look successful and be successful and have it all in the eyes of the world and to find our security in Him and in Him alone. We can do this because of what Jesus has done, because of the finished work of the cross and resurrection. 1 Peter 2:9 says this about us. God has radically reversed your status. You used to be nobodies, complete rejects, and disgraceful outcasts. But now you are God's own people, members of His prestigious family. We used to be rejects and nobodies, but our status has been reversed because of what Jesus has done. We are God's own prestigious family now. But here's what that means. It means the world has nothing to offer us in terms of gaining honor or success or power. Nothing. Because God has already settled it for us. In Jesus, we are honored. We sit in the kingdom places of honor. So we don't need to strive for it here and now. Rather, we can take our place in His kingdom. And we can be secure in His kingdom way. The second idea about sitting at King Jesus' table, we look at verses 10 to 14. We read, "But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus said, choose the last seat and let the banquet, the host, call you up to a better place. Now imagine having an overinflated ego as you go into one of these banquets. You walk into the room and you think, I'm the most important person here, so I deserve the best seat. So you make your way over and you sit right beside the host. And all of a sudden, the host turns to you and says, "Friend, somebody more important than you just walked into this room. I need you to take a step down." Can you imagine the humiliation that would come over you? You know, we might not see it in ourselves at a banquet, but all of us in some ways choose to take the most important seat in life. Recently, I saw this when I was boarding a plane, and we were in an airport, my son and I, and all of a sudden the attendant came over the loudspeaker and said, "Now boarding all first class passengers in business class. All business class passengers, please make your way to the line." Well, guess what happened? Everybody assumed they were a business class passenger because everybody got up and ran to the gate. And then the attendant had to sit there and humiliate people one by one by saying, "Sorry, sir, you're in coach. You're at the back of the line." You know, there's something in us that wants to be first, always. We desire to show off our success and possessions or status. We engage in me-centered advertising at every corner. You spend just a couple of seconds on Facebook and you see me-centered rants all the time. There's a brokenness in us that says, I should be number one. Jesus says, sit in the last seat and let the host say you are number one. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled, we read here. But if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. You know, with humility comes this great blessing that we get. This great blessing means so much as we're given these great privileges to walk alongside the poorest of the poor. Women like Fiza, who is a widow and has two children that she loves dearly. But Fiza was left suffering when her husband died and left out on the street to beg. But we have the privilege of walking alongside of a woman like Fiza and her children and welcoming them to the Master's table. In humility, we are called to put our future and our security in our Father's hands. The way forward then for us is humility. It is that I will choose to put others' needs in front of my own desires. That I will choose to seek Jesus' desire for my life rather than my own desire. It is that I will put my possessions into His hands for Him to use to bring Himself glory rather than my own success and my own desire for security. It is that I will find my security in Him alone, which may mean doing His work quietly, even when nobody else notices what I'm doing. Because the Master will exalt us in His way, the only way that truly matters for the kingdom, because it's a way that brings glory to Himself rather than bringing glory to us. If we want to sit at this King's table of honor, we find our security in Jesus alone. We securely choose the last seat. And now the last idea, verses 12 to 14. Then Jesus said to His host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This third idea is to invite others to take their place at the table. Jesus' instructions here went totally against the culture of the day. Culture said, invite the most influential people to your party. Have those who have power and who have prestige and have position. Invite the ones who have influence, because down the road they're going to repay you. Invite the decision makers, because then you can get them on your side. By coming to the party, you could expect a payout from them down the road. Sometimes they're going to scratch your back for you having scratched theirs. They would remember you. This was the model for building a successful career in the first century, where everything depended on relationship. But Jesus said to those people and says to us, don't invite the influential people who can pay you back. Rather, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the outcast. Invite them in. And then look at this promise we get here. We read, and you will be blessed. Those who spend their life, their time making a life here and now, are focused on tasting the blessing today. And we get repaid, but we get repaid in the here and now by having possessions and power and comfort and security, a sense of security around us. But Jesus says, invite in the poor and the powerless, and you will be blessed. They cannot repay you here and now. They have nothing to give you. But God will repay you at the resurrection. This woman, her name here is Dashash. Dashash and her little son, Salah Amlak. Salah Amlak means, I prayed to God, and this is God's provision for her. But Dashash is HIV positive. She was not taking her medication. She was begging on the street. She was in a hopeless situation, full of despair. But you know, our staff lovingly went out to her and invited her to come into the table. And at the same time, a family here in the United States decided to give a little bit of money towards family sponsorship so that they could also see her invited to the table too. And now Dashash's life has changed dramatically. She's not begging, but now she fattens sheep as a living, has a couple of cows as well, and she is changing her life because somebody was willing to invite her, an outcast, to the table. Or consider this woman here, This woman's name is Emma Bates, and this is her daughter, Tseganesh. Our staff invited this young woman who was begging on the streets in with her young daughter at that point in time. They counted her as a friend. She came to the table and she was loved on, and the gospel was shared with her in word and deed. And now this woman looks like this. This is her now as her having her own little business. She has a sewing machine and she works in this one room and she makes these beautiful comforters. And she is now paying her rent and she's buying food for her family. And she is in a much different place. The reason why this cycle of poverty could begin to be broken in her life is because she was invited into the kingdom party, even as an outcast. Our staff welcomed her, and again, a family sponsor was willing to spend a bit less on their own desires in order to see someone else's life changed in a different place, a poor single mom's life changed. You know, we see this reordering, though, in the passage that we read, but also in other places in Scripture. We see this in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. We read, they, James, Cephas, and John, agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. You know, here we see Paul is going out on this missionary journey, and he says, you know what, in the midst of us beginning to see the church expand, in the midst of sharing the gospel, what we kept central was remembering the poor, remembering the outcast, remembering to bring the love of Christ to them. You know, this is a kingdom expectation that we, the people who have become honored in God's eyes, that now we would share a bit of a glimmer of who our God is with those around us. Isaiah 1:17 as well. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Take the last seat. Invite in the broken. Stand up for them. And resemble our God as we do so. You know, this truly is grace for us. That Jesus invited us to sit at His kingdom table, to sit in fellowship with Him, and to live out the new life He calls us to. Because we once were rejects and losers and nobodies and outcasts. But through the free gift of salvation, He invited us in to sit at His table. But what should we consider as we find ourselves sitting at the King's table? It is that we then include others there. As we sit at His table, it is to find our security in Jesus alone. It is to securely be able to choose the lowest place, and it is to invite others in. But it all boils down to this idea: can I trust God enough? This God who in Jesus gave His all so that we could be called to the place of honor. Do we trust Him enough for Him to determine where we will sit and who we'll welcome in to His party? Now let me just in closing share this idea with you. You know, for my family, we've had a really good place at this table. We love the place we live. We love the fact that this ministry has continued to grow. We love our neighborhood, our community that is around us. We love the way God has continued to bless Embracing Hope's work in Ethiopia. But at the same time, a while ago, we felt God's prompting that it was time for us to leave Ethiopia. And so now the work in Ethiopia will continue, and it will continue to do wonderful under our Ethiopian staff and Ethiopian leadership. But we felt as if God said to us, can you trust me enough to step outside of your comfort zone and to go somewhere else to be among people who are not like you at all? And so now in January, our family, we'll move to Istanbul, Turkey. There's 20 million people that live in that city. 99.8% of them are Muslim. They're very different than what we are. And there's 500,000 refugees who live in that city, most of them women with young children. We will go, we'll live incarnationally in a poor neighborhood, loving on our neighbors there, while also reaching out to refugees who call Istanbul home. Again, sharing the love of Jesus. Because you see, for you or for me, it will never be about our comfort. Rather, it is about the Master sharing with us where it is that we sit at His table and how we can invite others in. I hope that you will join with us in welcoming others to His table too. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the gift of grace. Jesus, we thank You for taking the place that we deserve. Thank You for the grace and mercy that has been poured out to us. And thank You for inviting us to sit at that table of fellowship with the King of Kings. Lord, we pray that You would help us to see who You've made us to be and help us to take the place that You have for us and help us to invite others into that kingdom party as well. Whoever they are, wherever they are today, help us to go to those who are cast off, the broken, the poor, and invite them in. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.